The Airport Experience Conference is fast approaching. Our 2019 event will take place February 24th to the 27th at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. Make sure you attend and tap into the airport experience industry's largest gathering of executives, decision makers, change agents, and forward thinkers. They'll all be there, gathered together under one roof, learning, networking, and sharing. So if you haven't registered yet, don't wait. Do so now. For more information on the agenda, registering for the show, exhibiting in our experience hall, or interested in our list of sponsorships, please visit airportxnews.com/conference. This is episode 15 of the Airport Experience News Podcast. I am Ramon Lowe, the publisher of Airport Experience News. As always, please don't forget to subscribe. This way you'll get the latest episodes. Once we post them, you'll also get access to our really expanding library of content. As always, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher. So in this episode, I chat with Vince Modica of Wolfgang Puck. And basically, I remember when I started in this industry 14 years ago, you had this major influx of celebrity chefs. Basically, if you were on TV, you were a chef, you were likely to see them in the airport. So it's been 10 years now. There has been a noticeable shift, but Wolfgang Puck, from that pack that I remember, is the only one that's really still expanding. So Vince talks about what they're doing to maintain that relevance and how other brands can as well. It was a great chat. Here is my conversation with Vince Modica. So I'm here with Vince Modica, Executive Vice President of Licensed Business at Wolfgang Puck. Vince, Happy New Year, and thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
Ramon, Happy New Year to you too, and always a pleasure to speak with you.
So one of the reasons why I do this pod is really to keep learning more about this business, because as you know, it's constantly evolving. And the aspect that I want to really speak to you about is with regards to brands. We, at least on my side here, I always break things up into groups in terms of the brands. You know, we have the new slash emerging, and then you have the quote unquote legacy brands, or, you know, the ones that have been around for a while. So the part I would like to focus on with you is the legacy group, the brands that have been around for a while. If maybe you can give me a little bit of background, you know, I know you from, your time with Host and obviously Wolfgang Puck, but if you can maybe just give me a little bit of background for those who are listening who might not know you as well.
Okay, Ramon, thank you. Actually, I spent majority of my career in this airport business and been very fortunate to work for great companies and have great mentors. But I think I have a unique perspective. I was a senior vice president of operations for Host. I ran their marketing, supply chain concept, proprietary concept group, did international development, actually ran the retail division for a while, and now fortunate enough and privileged to work for Wolfgang Puck worldwide. So that's a 20-year history summed up in about 30 seconds.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And so basically, it's great that we're talking, because I know when I was thinking of topics to come up with for a future podcast, this one, actually you in particular, came up for this topic. So I guess what I really want to know is I want to focus on the brands that are still hanging on or are not really impactful anymore. And looking at your brand like Wolfgang Puck, I've kind of followed it through my time here in airports, and it seems to still be relevant. But before we get into that, I want to look back. I want to actually look at the industry where we stand now, and I want to get your opinion on things. You know, celebrity chefs, when I started like 15 years ago in this industry, they were all the rage. So can you just talk about where that trend is now with our group?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. It's an interesting question. I think celebrity chef can be often overused and is really not a clear definition for what it is. You know, I think a lot of people that'll watch food shows and competitions, they see a winner that gets some media appeal. And then, that term celebrity chef is a label that hangs on them. You know, I think the industry has evolved where the word celebrity is no longer as relevant as it was. I would say it's more looking for James Beard award-winning chefs or that have the credentials behind themselves, behind their brand, and not just a celebrity. So they are successful restaurateurs on the street that have systems and processes behind the name that make them successful and then continue to evolve over time. So I think it's going from that local regional celebrity to James Beard award-winning chefs in that category.
So basically, just to take a step back, I was a big guy who watched the Food Network constantly back in the 90s or so before their the elaborate productions now. And I kind of look at it as the layperson such as myself has become a little more educated about dining and food. So do you think that the evolution of the diner has gotten to a point now, it doesn't matter, it's not tied to a celebrity chef in particular, it's just more about the education of the food and knowing the quality of it. That's the attraction.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think people are, much more sophisticated today. There's many more foodies out there, if you will. We have a great demographic in our business. We're fortunate from that perspective. I look at it as the ones being successful today. And I'll use Wolfgang Puck as an example. We're a brand first. Celebrity is second. It's the continuous focus on our restaurants, the quality, our service. The celebrity kind of follows that as opposed to reverse, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems, again, from my early days of watching Food Network, it was Emeril and Chef Puck, et cetera. It seems like Chef Puck, that is, has managed to stay relevant over these years, whether it's a line of cookingware or products, new restaurants, things like the work he's done with, the Academy Awards and things like that, right? I mean, he's been able to stay front of mind with folks.
Yes. I think for us, what has kept us relevant over the years, I think there's a number thing, and not saying this doesn't, not say other chefs don't have this, but I think, we are a restaurant company first and foremost. That drives our business every day. The celebrity thing attached to Wolfgang is secondary. I think it's his relentless drive for quality and service that kind of resonates throughout the organization. We have a continuous organization, a culture of learning, continue to learn and develop. We spend a lot of time developing and training people. And we also bring a fair amount of people in from the outside that come in with clean and different perspectives. I think we're driven by innovation, and innovation not just from a social media perspective, innovation when it comes to product, services, kitchen equipment, how to make it more convenient for the consumer. And then I think it's a passion for excellence and probably continuous improvement that I think is built into the culture of our DNA. And I think that's what has kept the brand successful in this business for well over 20 years.
Do you feel it also helps that it's not known that, let's say, this chef in particular is not known just for one category? So he's not like an Italian chef. He's not, an Asian or a modern Southwestern, whatever it is, culinary category chef. It seems like he has many different styles. And do you think that's something that kind of helps carry his relevance onward? Forget the celebrity that is, is that something that carries on? Because I know there are different iterations of the Wolfgang Puck brand. There's the kitchen, there's the market, things like that.
I think what we've come to learn, and we do spend a lot of time, talking to consumers and landlords and partners to really understand their perspective of how we're viewed in the industry. And I think what we've come to learn is that the name Wolfgang Puck, that's the brand. Whatever tagline we associate with it, be it the marketplace or the kitchen or pizza, that just kind of identifies the product. So because of our deep tentacles in culinary, it affords us the opportunity to do many different things. And I guess an example would be, and we learned this from the fine dining group, if you look at fine dining, Wolfgang has, Spago, which is, basically tailored to the region that it represents. You have the Cut, which is a steakhouse. You have Lupa and Cucina, which are Italian. You have Five 360 and Source that are Asian fusion. So very successful in fine dining with many different type of cuisines. You know, I think for we do the same thing on the worldwide side. And to give you two examples, you know, in Washington Dulles, you know, there was an RFP for a restaurant in the international terminal. You know, when we looked at it, it had a very high demographic of and flights to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of Mideastern travelers. So when we did our kitchen there, we really focused on all the meats, all the proteins were halal. We focused on vegetarian items. So we made it, you know, with that that kind of culinary experience to fit that clientele. Another example would be in DFW, the authority was looking for an Italian restaurant. So we did, you know, an Italian kitchen. We were able to reach over to fine dining with, you know, based on our success in that category and borrow from them to create the Italian restaurant. So, you know, I think in overall, we look to, at our menus to be 70% pretty standard, what the consumer expects to get. And then 30% is probably variable, which is really tailored to the region and demographic of that passenger. And I think that's, you know, leads to somewhat of our success, being having those deep culinary roots to really cater to that niche.
So I'm going to step aside for a second here and I just follow me. I know this is going to be weird. So I was watching the movie Ratatouille. I don't know if you're familiar with it, with my kids. And it's basically just a Pixar animated film about a rat who learns how to cook. You know, it's Disney. So, you know, just use your imagination. Right. So there is one part of the film about where the chef in particular, they were honoring, you know, they say Gusto does Mexican, Gusto does this, Gusto does that, where, and I guess the purists were saying, wow, we don't want him to kind of like soil his name to be known as many, many things as opposed to just being known for one thing. So I guess bringing it back to our conversation here, is there, do you feel a danger, whether it's Wolfgang Puck or any brand that you see out there, is there a danger, do you think, that from almost veering too far away from the soul of the brand, or do you see there's a value to it, like what you guys have done and being able to cater to the markets like a Dulles or LA, et cetera?
That's a very interesting and fascinating question. You know, I think it really comes down to the value proposition. It's understanding what your business model is and not straying too far from it. And you know, to use another industry as an example, right? You know, you could look at the car industry and you can have a company like a Mercedes-Benz that offers, it's a high-priced product, but with a service and quality perspective that the consumer feels good enough to trade their dollars for that product and feel there's a good value there. You know, then you can have another company, let's just call it Honda, for instance, also a great company with a very different value proposition. Both are highly successful, but both say very true to what their core business model is. Mm-hmm. And they don't confuse, they don't try to be something they're not. And I think that's what Wolfgang Puck has done very well, is staying true to what we do, our value proposition, and continually innovating to meet the consumer's needs.
So you're saying it, regardless of what Wolfgang Puck does in terms of, regardless of the cuisine that you are offering, it's still of Wolfgang Puck quality, not necessarily
correct.
Like, oh, you're going to get like a dollar menu Wolfgang Puck item or something like that.
Correct. Yes, that's a fair statement.
And do you feel that just the landscape of the industry is that there's a welcoming of that? I know we've spoken earlier about, you know, going from celebrity to James Beard award-winning chefs, and those folks are not necessarily really known unless you're, you know, constantly in the know somehow or industry person like yourself. So do you think that there is still a place for the quote unquote chef, forget the celebrity part, but just like the chef and, you know, being the one that's driving the soul of the brand?
You know, first of all, I think there's always a market for excellence, right? Regardless of what the product is. So there's always that consumer out there. You know, I think our business specifically, it's changing. It continues to change, which makes it, you know, fun to work in. I just believe, it's just about innovation. It's how do you continue to stay relevant over a period of time and really not resting on your laurels. You made a point before about Wolfgang Puck, and you know, we've gone through a lot of reiterations over the past 20 years and a lot of different brands. It's because we're always looking to improve on what we have and to stay relevant. So we do a lot of benchmarking. We do a lot of customer research. And then we just match it up with what our core values are and try to continuously develop new concepts. You know, as we look at the landscape today, you know, what you see happening with the increased competition, but you know, there's shorter lease terms. The financial requirements are greater. They're looking for higher mags, higher percent rent. There's more scrutiny on the design of the facility, employee wages. So, you know, the margins for the operator become a little bit thinner. So, you know, we look at it from a brand perspective, say, you know, how do we help our partners make up that gap? So, you know, we spend a lot of time looking at the layout of the back of the house to ensure that we could service the dining room and the grab-and-go area in the most effective way. Same thing with where the bar is and relevant to the host stand and to the kitchen. So always looking to not only reduce the capital, but how do we increase capture, flow through, and functionality? So to help the operator be more profitable, right? It's a very competitive industry, and it continues to get more competitive as time goes on. So we just have to stay, how do we stay ahead of that curve? I think the fast casual with a bar element in the future is probably an area where we're going to be spending some time looking for our next iteration of concepts.
So you mentioned the high costs of really almost everything, if it's design and products, et cetera. There definitely seems to feel like, at least from my perspective, that Wolfgang Puck is a premium brand. You know, going back to the Mercedes-Benz versus the Honda kind of model, both solid cars, great, but there's a premium aspect to the Wolfgang Puck name and obviously to your offerings. Looking at everything from the design, I mean, I believe I've been to the one in LAX. I've seen the renderings for your other locations. You know, it's definitely an upscale. So do you think that as a brand almost makes you, in some ways, you can't be applied then from an operator because it might be a little too much higher as opposed to, you know, making almost dumbing yourself down to fit into something, which it seems like you will not do.
No, but we do. You know, we do say, again, and I think where maybe we're different than other companies is, you know, Wolfgang has three distinct companies, right? It's the fine dining group, it's the catering, and worldwide. You know, we're in a worldwide. So we don't get our lines of what responsibility blurred up easily, but we constantly look at build out costs. We constantly look at, you know, what some master concessionaires are building proprietary concepts for, because we know to be relevant, our build out cost needs to be the same for them. So we constantly look at per square footage and cost of equipment. So we can build a restaurant that may look higher end, but is basically the same cost as a chain restaurant or a proprietary restaurant. When it comes to product cost, same thing. You know, we spend a lot of time looking at products, and we buy, you know, most of our products locally. You know, that's part of what we do. Our cost is basically in line, because we do benchmark against proprietary full service restaurants or casual dining brands on a national level, or a QSR pizza or anything in between. So we do try to look from cost from more perspective to at least be equal to, if not better, than those we compete against.
You know, so you mentioned the three segments of the company, you know, the fine dining, the fast casual, right? And what was the third?
There's fine dining. And there's the catering division. And then there's worldwide.
And worldwide.
Which is where we are. And worldwide consists of the licensed business and consumer products.
Okay, so you have the fine dining, catering, and the worldwide. Do you feel that you see or are able to benefit from other, I guess, synergies from within those segments to in this airport space? And is that really key, not just for you, but really for anybody, any other operator, any brand that wants to stay relevant in our space?
You know, Yeah, for us, you know, we are centralized from a support perspective. So we do have common resources we use. But when it comes down to operations or development, it's pretty much defined to our role. So I strictly work in development for the worldwide side because it's a very different animal than fine dining. You know, we're open in some cases, you know, 20 hours a day. We have to have a strong breakfast program. Flow through and functionality is extremely important. So, you know, we try to keep those resources separate than catering and fine dining. Where it comes in and behooves us is when we are developing new concepts and new products, it's then reaching over to those other groups. And that's where the synergies come into play. Because they are in, you know, so many cities where we may have operations. So it's how do you leverage that talent to all three organizations. So it's a very interesting business model, but pretty much three separate companies with the core all intersecting, supporting all three.
Okay, so my question is, could you offer, is there a piece of advice, not just, or maybe something that you've learned and over your many years in this space that you can share that will allow some brands to kind of stay relevant? Because I know it's great to have a team and an organization as talented as Wolfgang Puck, but maybe others might not. Is it as simple as really making sure that your stuff, your design is up to date, your menu is fresh? You know, is it that simple, or is there like something else in the secret sauce to it?
No, you know, I think it's just realizing that, you know, at the end of the day, right, it's all going to come down to quality and service, right? I mean, those are the two key factors that the operators make money. But behind that, it's understanding what the consumer is looking for. You know, in our business, you know, we're going to do, you know, 30% of our sales, 35, are going to be for breakfast, right? So, you know, it's having, understand that consumer in the morning is having those products available that are fast and quick, and probably quite a few will be taking it out to go on a plane. So it's understanding that day part, which differs from almost every sit-down restaurant on the street. So that, you know, that's a big piece of it. And the ability in our space to understand that every location is going to have a different size, different space. You know, no two restaurants are going to look the same. They're all going to have different logistics. So understanding internal logistics of getting the product from the back door to the restaurant or from a commissary to the restaurant is going to be different. So it's not looking at it as a one size fits all. Everything's going to be a very unique space, and you're going to have to tailor the restaurant for that airport and for that terminal and for that demographic. You know, I think once you try to get a one size fits all, for most brands, that's probably not going to work.
Okay. Well, I got two more questions for you, and I'll let you go. One is, I'd love for you to kind of share an instance during your time with Wolfgang Puck where you made a suggestion, say, hey, maybe we should go in this direction or try this or that. And it was kind of met with resistance because, you know, that's not something we do or whatever, you know, but you eventually did it anyway. And forget the how successful it was or wasn't, but something that where basically you had to, you should to show like some stretch or pliability with the brand, especially in something so challenging as an airport environment.
That's a difficult question to answer. I think between Wolfgang and Joe Issa, who is the president and CEO of Wolfgang Puck, they're probably the two most out-of-the-box thinkers in the organization, right? So trying to keep up with them is often, especially Joe, is often very difficult because he's always stretching and pushing and trying to see how we can do things different. You know, I think it's how do we continue to stay relevant, understanding the needs of the airport and to be local and to be part of the community, but also not lose who we are as a brand. So I think a good example would be as part of giving back, we developed a program called our Culinary Cultivation Program, where we'll actually contribute a percentage of our royalty. We asked the partners to match it. And then on a yearly basis, we'll meet with the airport authority and say, okay, we have, you know, X amount of dollars to share. You know, how do we want to spend it? It could be as easy as having cook-offs in the restaurant, with having social media attached and awarding a prize to the winner. It could be internship programs at local culinary schools where we could send to a Wolfgang Puck fine dining restaurant to get a formalized internship, all paid for through these funds. So I think it's trying to think about how do you become a very global brand, which we are, but work very local and stay active in the community. So I think the latest, you know, culinary cultivation initiative is another example of how we do that. And it's also our way of giving back, and it is the right thing to do.
So my last question for you is kind of, if you are able to share this, there have been several iterations of Wolfgang Puck over the years, as we kind of mentioned earlier. And I'm sure there will be more. I don't know if you can give us a sneak peek into what's coming up, or maybe just other initiatives that will allow you, I believe, to be able to adhere to the brand in terms of the next iteration of things.
Yeah. And you know, we are working on that concept now. I will take a step back and say, one of the things that I absolutely love about the industry we're in, as competitive as it is, and Ramon, you know this because you have one of the premier conferences in the industry, but as competitive as it is, people have a willingness to share with each other, socialize extremely well. We play nice together, but it's also very competitive. And sharing with competitors and other brands is something we all do. So there's no secret to that. I would think, unlike just like other brands and what master concessionaires are looking at, with all the demands of the local RFPs or CPE process and the globalization of the consumer, trying to figure out, you know, how do we continue to be more profitable to afford these rents, you know, and make a return. So I think it's no secret that we're all looking at, you know, how do you reduce labor without reducing quality or service? You know, for us, Wolfgang, you know, we always look at innovation and technology, but never to replace labor. It's how do we enhance service? Sure. But I think so. We're all looking at that. So I think, like I said, fast casual probably makes sense. I think we all know that bars in general make money, liquor. So I think we're all, you know, a fast casual with a bar concept makes sense. And then continue the localization and sustainability of how you build and what you serve will continue to become important moving forward. And be good corporate citizens. So I think we're probably doing what everyone else is doing at the same time.
So basically, you're going to tell me once I stop recording.
No, I think it's a fast casual with a bar. You know that, you know, we're not going to lose our core value. Probably it'll probably have a pizza component on if needed, or a rotisserie. But I think that's going to be the way of the future: smaller footprints and less full service elements in these restaurants.
Well, excellent.
Well, and then how do you do cooking with, you know, ventless kitchens as opposed to vented kitchens, right? Because we know venting becomes very expensive. So it'd be that type of technology that we'll be looking at to reduce the capital of our partners.
Well, excellent. Well, Vince, that's all I have. I appreciate the time, and you know, thank you very much for just chatting with me.
Appreciate you, and thank you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next month in Vegas at your annual conference, which I always enjoy. So you guys do a great job.